This is Comrade Pitt. This commentary is titled Transforming the Iron Houses of Oppression into Schools of Liberation. Conversations from a Prison Cell. I recently had an interesting one-on-one dialogue with a peer of mine. Now, usually every morning I tend to begin my days by watching the morning news. My peer, who was housed in the cell next to mine, typically doesn't wake up until much later in the afternoon. Oftentimes he doesn't even wake up to receive his breakfast tray. But this one particular morning, as I'm sticking to my routine, I hear a very familiar voice say, quote, "Bruh, I don't even know why you fight with these people. If you just put the energy on getting out of prison and just go along with what they tell you, you'd probably be in a good position," unquote. Given this was uncharacteristic for him to initiate a conversation at a time he's usually asleep, especially a dialogue which started with such a statement, I couldn't help but laugh a bit. Now, in the 2 months I've been housed beside him in the segregation unit, we've had a lot of conversation, and I noticed how his entire life was based upon astrology, from family, sports, hobby, etc. Even his incarceration is attributed to the positions of the moon, sun, and stars. To say he is idealistic is really an understatement. He is quite a character, extremely sensational, which he attributes to his zodiac sign, Pisces. According to him, if I only heeded to my zodiac sign, Leo, then the moon, sun, and stars would align in my favor and place me in a much more auspicious circumstance. He adheres to astrology like most pastors adhere to the Bible, but as one who believes in dialectical materialism, I disagree with such idealistic notion, but I listened. As the conversation went on, I explained to him how I never wake up with premeditated intent of engaging the pigs in a fight. I pointed out to him the foul inhumane conditions of confinement and mistreatment that we are subjected to each day, which he too, by the way, isn't exempt from. In such conditions and mistreatment aren't directly challenged by those most affected, us, then how can we anticipate for any kind of change? Change only comes to those who fight for it. I wish I never had to fight, but such luxury isn't afforded to an oppressed class. I share with him a quote by Mumia Abu-Jamal that states, quote, "Tomorrow belongs to those who fight hardest today," unquote. I went a bit further and explained to him that despite his incarceration, he still has rights. And if he, quote, goes along, unquote, with the oppression he's subjected to, as he suggested I do, then he makes a hard argument to why others should fight for his humanity and dignity. This part right here, he stumbled a bit. To some degree, he sounded defeated and hopeless. I could detect from his voice, as I too have experienced the same feelings far too many times. You fight and it just seems effortless, and the myriad of factors looking against you makes it appear inexpugnable. It is in these moments that I try to muster the will and the courage to fight on when I remember the sacrifices countless other prisoners made in hopes of alleviating and or eradicating the oppression future generations will be subjected to under the carceral system. I recall when I first arrived at this infamous prison called Red Onion Prison, assaults on restrained prisoners, deprivation of meals, showers, indoor outer cell exercise, along with the inhumane practice of solitary confinement, which still exists to this day, but not to the level it once did, was not merely systemic, but an established norm, as though it was part of the operating procedures. However, in the midst of it, there was also a culture of resistance amongst prisoners in which we stood up for each other's humanity and dignity. This resistance is the product of the fact that oppression inevitably breeds resistance. At this stage of the conversation, he seemed to concur with my point, but there was still a part of him which strongly had bought into the notion that if you just go along, then sooner or later, they will stop with the mistreatment. If it only worked like that, I thought, this carrot on a stick idea then spontaneously began circulating in prisons. It is an idea strategically and meticulously enforced by prison crats, for the oppressed prisoners are thus receptive, then it benefits the prison crats while our suffering only intensifies. It's really nothing more than a psychological tactic. And I'm reminded quite often that, quote, "the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed," unquote. It's a quote by Stephen Bantu Biko. I shared this quote with him, and he asked for, "Give me a couple minutes so I can write it down real quick." I thought, sure. Now, throughout the years of my incarceration, I personally couldn't count the number of times the pigs have told me, quote, "if you only minded your business and just stay out of trouble, you'd be all right," unquote. Now, minding your business is their way to discourage us from speaking out for each other, and it's impossible to stay out of trouble since those who advocate for others about to be retaliated upon. I suppose this was the, quote, good trouble, unquote, which John Lewis often spoke about. Good trouble that I would always engage in, no matter the consequences or retaliations. The idea of, quote, going along, unquote, I see it as being complicit in your oppression in some way. Therefore, resistance becomes an attractive remedy. After hours of this conversation, I asked him if he'd be interested in reading Michelle Alexander's magnum opus, The New Jim Crow. He agreed to check it out. Though getting the book to him was a challenge in and of itself, we were nonetheless able to make it possible. I asked him to take his time to study, take key notes, and return to me summaries explaining what he read, what he took away from it, and we can build further. Teaching and learning is a symbiotic process. He grows, I grow. He retreated into his own world, inside his cell, as did I. The very next morning, my routine of watching news was once again interrupted. Having braced myself for the dialogue to once again commence with talks of astrology, eventually transitioning to where our previous conversation ended, he actually resurfaced by getting straight to the point. Ah, must be a Pisces thing, I thought. Having read only the first two chapters, surely he didn't study much. He stated that he would study more, but he wanted to discuss how the book resonated with him thus far. More specifically, the second chapter. He talked about how he was incarcerated as a teenager, unfamiliar with the function of the legal system. He was convinced by his court-appointed attorney to plead guilty in order to avoid a harsh mandatory sentence. However, upon accepting the plea deal, he was still sentenced to a lengthy prison sentence. And the second chapter helped him put a lot of things in perspective, especially in regards to his own personal case. Like many people from the streets, due to socioeconomic disparity and lack of opportunity, he resorted to the drug game as a means to an end. His story is a reflection of many other stories in prison. He talked about how he's heard the term, quote, war on drugs, unquote, but never truly comprehended how it not only impacted him, but his entire community. He has a keen and gritty intelligence, which is common amongst people from the streets, and I could tell that he was moved by the first two chapters of the book, so I knew his studies weren't going to stop anytime soon. His modus operandi was evolving. I urged him to study further, and we will build as we go. The next day, surely he surfaces, we build. A few days later, a week later, and each time he's more receptive. His mind grows. It's a protracted process, but certainly symbiotic because as he learns from me, I also learn from him. This morning, the dialogue began with the hypocrisy of the Pledge of Allegiance, which we recited countless of times in school. He steady referencing to the New Jim Crow to make his point. At this point, I took on the role of the student. He intelligently articulated how equality and the right to, quote, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness doesn't apply to all people. My response was, I know. And that's why we have a responsibility to not go along with our oppression, but rather play a part in resisting and ultimately changing this whole rotten system. But the system is too big and powerful, he says, something that I've encountered before with such conversations. And I remind him that nothing is more powerful than the power of the people. And the Declaration of Independence actually says that, quote, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, unquote. This is why we use the slogan, all power to the people, because all power truly comes from the people. And we not only have the power, but we more importantly have the power to abolish any oppressive, exploitative system and all of its structure. I read to him a quote by George Jackson that, quote, if we all stand up, our collective power will destroy the forces that oppose us, unquote. Despite the difficulties, I was able to send him more books such as Democracy Denied, When We Fight, We Win, Panther Vision 1 and 2, Defying the Tomb, Wretched of the Earth, and Blood in My Eyes. I told him he can keep them so long as he vows to continue studying them. A couple of days later, I was moved to a different housing unit back to general population. Now, the Revolutionary Intercommunalism Black Panther Party greatly emphasizes on the significance of turning these iron houses of oppression into schools of liberation. We understand that a vast majority of those in prisons will eventually be released back to society. Therefore, our goal is to empower and educate them so that they will play a pivotal role in changing their communities. now, and also by being an asset rather than a liability, and play a critical revolutionary role in abolishing oppression and exploitation of human beings by other human beings. Now, by the end, when it was all said and done, I not only made a great friend, but I also, most importantly, made a comrade, and definitely look forward to his journey as he progresses through it all. All power to the people, comrades. Thank you for your time.
These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.